760, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Please join us for the State of Jefferson 2018 Banquet and Fundraiser. It'll be held Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall. Doors open at 5 with a catered tri-tip or chicken dinner served at 5:30. You'll enjoy great food and awesome prizes, as well as live and silent auction items. All proceeds will benefit the Jefferson Legal Fund. Tickets are $35 each, or get a pair for $60. Cost for a table of 8 is $500 and includes 8 dinners and $600 in prize tickets. In Shasta County, call Chris Kellstrom at 530-526-2352 for tickets or more information. In Tehama County, call Patty Smith at 530-586-2166. We'll see you Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And remember, the time has come for 51.
The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson state of mind.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. A century of dreams haunted the loggers and the cowboys. Double cross by Old Sac and Salem. They cursed rough roads, hauling their loads, but they did their best to deliver them. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. In your soul.
your soul, in your soul. The beauty of the sunsets never gets old. The winding rivers are filled with gold, and the pine stands tall and sway. And the coast takes your breath away. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul.
Jefferson. Just want to give everybody a heads up. If you can hear me, great. If you can't, I apologize. We're having technical difficulty on this end, and Bob is being the master and trying to be ninja-like and fix the darn thing. So please hang in there with us, and we'll get it going as quickly as he can possibly do
the,
that.
The nature of the technical difficulty is that our internet is completely down, and I am working to get it restored. Without the internet, we have no streaming capability. So for those of you who have been calling wondering where the stream is, if I get the if and when we get the internet back, we'll get the streaming back. So thanks for your patience. We do have guests standing by on the phone. So Wynn, I'll go ahead and let you say whatever else you want to say, and then we can go to Mark Baird is
sure.
Standing by.
And then soon as you have something up and running, Bob, just jump in and just say so, and it'll let people know.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, again, we apologize for that, but, you know, things happen. And it's all about how you adapt to it. Okay, I just want to do a couple of quick housekeeping things. The Patriots, we're having our regular meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. But prior to that, we're going to have our Jefferson meeting, 5:30. So come one, come all at 3276 Bocelli Lane and hear what's going on. And we'll discuss all the good stuff going on regarding Jefferson and all the other fun stuff that's going on in the nation. Regarding our upcoming event here in Shasta County on February 17th, it's the banquet and fundraiser. The dinner tickets are sold out. Just want to let everybody know, dinner tickets are sold out. We do have gun tickets, so if you'd like to buy gun tickets, even if you weren't planning on going to the dinner, but you would like to still buy gun tickets for a chance of winning one of the many guns, we still have those available. So you can contact Chris here in Shasta County at 526-2352. 526-2352 to get the gun tickets. And we want to thank everybody for participating in that event, all the hard work leading up to it and after, and all that good stuff that, you know, by all the Patriots that are doing it. We want to thank all the people that are buying into it and the auction. We truly appreciate that. It's going to go to the wonderful, worthy cause of Jefferson and fighting for our liberty. So I want to thank everybody involved with that. Let's see. We have... we're going to be having two guests on with us this morning, Mark Baird and Gary Zerman. Mark Baird, as you all know, is our main speaker for Jefferson and a true patriot. He's the one that actually got it going. He and a group of people up in Siskiyou County got this thing fired up and got it going back in 2013. And Gary Zerman is one of our attorneys. He's going to talk about where we're at with this latest bit of information that rolled out last week from the judge, from the court. And they'll talk about that, and we'll explain what's going on and how we're doing what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. So I just want to give everybody a heads up on that. So do we have people online there for us, Bob?
Yes, we have Gary Zerman and Mark Baird. I'll put both of them on at the same time, if Perfect. You like. And we also have the internet back. We should have the stream back momentarily. So, again, thanks for your patience, and I'll go ahead and let you bring the guests on, Wynn.
Okay, yes. Technology is wonderful when it works, and it's a pain in the neck when it doesn't. So, again, thank you for your patience, everybody. We appreciate it. All right, let's bring on our guests. We have Mark Baird and Gary Zerman. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good. So,
morning, Mark.
Morning, Gary.
So, what are we going to be doing? What are we going to talk about this morning? All the fun stuff that we're dealing with. Gary, do you want to kind of go into where we're headed with this and what the
issue is? Yeah, I'll give you an update on the case. On January 31st, Judge Mueller issued her order, and this was an order from the hearing that we had on September 8th, 2017. So we got it somewhat almost 4 months later. And what she had said at the hearing is that regarding the defendant, State of California's motion to dismiss the complaint, that she was going to grant that or hold it in abeyance because she was also granting our motion for leave to amend. When we had filed our motion for leave to amend, we had also filed a proposed First Amended complaint. She, at the hearing, she dealt mostly with our filed initial complaint. And so she did grant us leave to amend. And what she said in her new order, though, is that we're limited to 25 pages, and we have to come up with a new First Amended complaint in 21 days. And so those are really limitations on us. These issues involve both the founding and history of the federal government as well as the founding and history of California and numerous Supreme Court cases discussing and making findings and rulings on all of that. So we think we need a little more time to prepare this complaint, and we need a few more pages. So we're going to go to court and ask for those. Essentially, what our case is about is that after the promise of the Revolution, the Declaration of Independence, that then formed our Constitution, that starts out, we the people. That's the federal Constitution, and the same thing with the California Constitution, we the people. Our revolution was unique in the history because before then, people thought, you didn't have rights. The people didn't have rights. In fact, with England, you were a subject of the king. And so our revolution established that we, the people, are sovereign. We are the tree. We are the trunk and the roots, and that we loan power to government, but they're mere branches. We, the people, are sovereign, and government is our servant. And the legislature was placed first in the Constitution for a reason. The House of Representatives was supposed to be the pulse, the lifeblood of the people. And they discussed this before the Constitution was ratified because they were fearful of an overpowering central government, and they proposed, they debated back and forth in the Federalist Papers and then proposed 12 amendments to the Constitution. And most people don't know this, but the first amendment, they called them articles, and so there were 12 articles, and article the first had to do with representation, that we would have continued representation as the population increased. We would also increase the number of representatives, and we did that up until 1911. There's a companion case to ours, which is Eugene Laverne et al. Versus the House of Representatives, and that's filed in the District Court of Washington, D.C. And what he's alleging there is that Article the First was, in fact, ratified by the founding states and should have been imposed. And so in 1911, when they stopped increasing the House of Representatives, that was wrong. They shouldn't have done that. In fact, today we should have something like 6,000 representatives, because our representatives is what actualizes all our rights. And you have to have these smaller districts so that you can know your representative, have an outcome when you vote, that you make sure that your representative is accountable to the people in that district. But what's happened is population has increased, and we have not increased the representatives. We've capped that. These districts have grown really, really large. In the federal system, a House of Representatives is one rep for 770,000 people. In California, we have 40 state senators and 80 assembly members, and initially these districts were 5,000 and 10,000 people, and every county had a representative, but they've stopped that, and now our district sizes are, for the assembly, it's 500,000, and for the Senate, 800,000. And so when you cut off or cap the legislature while the population grows, you're cutting off the power of the people. So in California, when they capped our representatives, the population was 400,000 in this state, a little over 400,000. Fast forward to today, it's 155 years later, we've added 39.5 million people to the state of California, but we haven't added one representative. And similarly, in the federal system, when they capped the House at 435 in 1911, there was the population of the country was 95 million. So fast forward to today, we're now 325 million. So we've added 230-some million people, but we haven't added one representative. And when they argued this before the Constitution was ratified, in Federalist 49, which is very important, it was entitled Method of Guarding Against Encroachment of Any Other One Department by Government by Appealing to the People Through a Convention. They stated there that as the people are the only legitimate fountain of power, and it is from them that the constitutional charter under which the several branches of government hold their power is derived. And that's how I mentioned earlier that we the people are sovereign. We are the tree. We are the trunk and the roots. We loan government, the branches of government. They're mere branches, but we are the tree and the tree trunk. And all power is supposed to reside in us. And in fact, in our California Constitution, the 1849 Constitution, this was stated as Article 1, Section 2, Declaration of Rights, which is presently in the present Constitution, it is Article 2, Section 1. All political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have the right to alter or reform it when the public good may require. So back to Federalist 49, it said that the executive branch and the judicial branch will be few in number, and they are remote from the people, whereas the legislature will be manied and varied and amongst the people. So that's how you get the will of the people, and that's why the legislature was placed first in the Constitution. But what has happened is when you cap the legislature, these other branches weren't capped, and they have grown in leaps and bounds, and in fact, they have leapfrogged over the legislature, and they are number one and two, and the legislature is now at the ass end being number three, and so the people are being ignored. And what has happened is that has allowed our representative government to turn into an oligarchy. Again, we only have 120 representatives now representing 40-some million people. And those districts are too large. The representative function and relationship breaks down. The elections become too expensive. You don't know your representative. And the political machines have taken over. So we will bring this out in our amended complaint and then go back to court. I'm sure it will be challenged by the state, and then we'll have another hearing.
Well, there's a lot there. A lot. Okay. Mark, what say you on information we've come together with and what we're working on? Did we lose Mark?
I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you
we
now.
We can hear your dog.
I totally agree with Gary, of course, and he's absolutely spot on in his assessment and his reading of history. And we know from the California Constitution that the government was formed by the people. The preamble tells us that. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, that to secure and perpetuate its blessings, freedom's blessings, we establish a constitution. We, the people, established the Constitution of California. So my question to the court is, are we now the servants or are we still the masters? Because it would seem that the state of California has assumed the role of being the master of the people and not its servant anymore. And with regard to representation, you know, as Gary said, we've added 39.5 million people to this state without adding one single additional representative. And Thomas Paine, in Common Sense, you know, we always have to go back to the meeting of the minds. What did the founders who authored the contract, and the Constitution is nothing more than a contract, and what did the founders who authored that contract intend for the contract to accomplish? What is the intent of the contract? What does the language mean? What were they thinking when they said those things? And what did they mean for those things to accomplish? And, of course, Thomas Paine, in Common Sense, one of the founders of our country, he said originally that some convenient tree will afford people a state house. You meet under the branches, the whole colony would probably assemble to deliberate on public matters. It's very probable that their first laws will have the title only of regulations and be enforced by no other penalty than public disesteem. In other words, you embarrass your neighbor into behaving correctly. And in this first parliament, every man, by natural right, will have a seat. But then as the colony increases, public concerns increase, and I'll paraphrase because it's kind of long, and people will live further and further and further away from the tree. So by necessity, we'll have to elect representatives because it won't be convenient for everybody to go to the tree and sit down and argue about public policy. And then as the colony continues increasing, it will become necessary to augment the number of the representatives and that the interest of every part of the colony be attended to. So in other words, Thomas Paine in Common Sense, a pamphlet that was widely received and one of the initial pot stirrers that started our revolution and our freedom and sovereignty from England, he very, very wisely suggested that at first when items of concern were small and the colony was small, everybody just talked about it. But as population grows, we would need to necessarily elect representatives because there'd be too many people. And as population continued to grow, we'd need to add more representatives so that everyone's concern in every part of this state would be met. And that's something that the legislature decided in 1872, I believe it was, to just stop doing. They arbitrarily turned to the people who formed the government and said, it is no longer convenient to serve you. And they did it for a discriminatory purpose. They didn't want Chinese to get any power, and they didn't want Chinese to have access to representation. Now, when we talk about discrimination, and we're talking about the Chinese in this case, and the theme of the 1879 Constitution was get rid of the Chinese. That was the theme of the Constitution by the Working Man's Party. So we know it was done discriminatorily, but let's stop for just a second and say that the Chinese of 1879 are you today. I mean, that pendulum of discrimination swings continuously from group to group. It might be African Americans one day, it might be Chinese the next, it might be you the day after that. And it's certainly discriminatory against the people of California today, because the legislature has formed an oligarchy. They have limited their own numbers. They pass laws that apply to you but do not apply to them. The government remains armed while it disarms its own citizens. The government exempts itself from programs and policies that are intended to subjugate its people. You pay a buck more a gallon for fuel than any state in the nation because the California government decided it needs to save the entire planet at your expense. And your taxes are the highest in the nation. Poverty rates in California are the highest in the nation. Illegal aliens get driver's licenses, and starting in March, they'll be registered to vote. So is it the job, is it the proper role of government to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California? In other words, to act on behalf of its citizens, or is it the proper role of government to abandon those principles and act on its own behalf? And that's a question everybody has to ask themselves. Are you okay with that?
Finding that line in the sand is what each and every one of us has to define. And I know that the line in the sand is clearly drawn for a great many of us, and how are we going to move forward with this? And hopefully this court case will be what allows us to move forward. Now, Gary, I know that, you know, President Trump said, you know, Americans are dreamers too. We've been dreaming about this for a long time. So we're trying to move this forward and trying to get action through the court. Is there something that we can do? I mean, when I say we, I'm talking about the legal team, with what you guys are writing to give back to the judge and the court. Is there something that we can do that can be locked tight on that? Or is it just responding to her questions and then she can just totally dismiss it after this? I mean, do we have any more recourse after this amendment and this reconsideration is given back to her? Is she just going to dismiss it?
Well, no, we'll have a hearing, and it looks like, you know, it may go that way because government protects government. As Mark said earlier, the whole purpose of our Constitution was, one, to protect the sanctity of the Constitution, keep things in check and balance in proper order, and also to protect our rights. But what's happened is it's turned, instead of a government for the people, by the people, of the people, it's a government of the government, for the government, and by the government. In 1990, again, it's hard to fathom that it's been 155 years and 35.5 million people have been added, and neither big political party, the Republicans or the Democrats, Jerry Brown, he's been governor for four terms. His father was governor for two terms. His sister was held a high office. None of these people are talking about representation for the people as it has been taken away. And as to representation, we're frozen in time while the rest of the government grows big and controls us. In 1990, a couple big things happened in this state. Number one, there was a book written called Disappearance of Representative Government, A California Solution, and it was written by Robert T. Monaghan, who was the former Speaker of the California Assembly from 1969 to 71. He later went on and I think served in the Reagan administration in the Department of Transportation. But here's one of their own. He was Speaker of the Assembly telling us that representation is disappearing in the state of California. Well, what did his fellow legislatures do about it? Nothing. What did the people do in that same year in 1990? They passed Proposition 140, which was later amended the Constitution, and it's Article 4, Section 1.5, and it says, "The people find and declare that the Founding Fathers established a system of representative government based upon free, fair, and competitive elections. The increased concentration of political power in the hands of incumbent representatives has made our electoral system less free, less competitive, and less representative. The ability of legislatures to serve unlimited number of terms, to establish their own retirement system, and to pay for staff and support services at state expense contribute heavily to the extremely high number of incumbents who are reelected. These unfair incumbent advantages discourage qualified candidates from seeking public office and create a class of career politicians instead of citizen representatives envisioned by the founding fathers. These career politicians become representatives of the bureaucracy rather than of the people whom they are elected to represent. To restore a free and democratic system of fair elections and to encourage qualified candidates to seek public office, the people find and declare that the powers of incumbency must be limited. Retirement benefits must be restricted, state-financed incumbent staff and support services limited, and limitations placed upon the number of terms which may be served. Now, despite the people standing up, voting for that, getting it passed and enacted, nothing's changed. They didn't increase any representation. The staff still grow of these legislatures. And why not do something directly as opposed to indirectly? And what I mean by that is most people say, oh, why do we need more representatives? That's more government. Well, if we're ever going to increase government, the one thing we should do is increase representatives, because that means that these districts are smaller. You then know your representative, and if your representative doesn't do what you want, you can automatically throw them out, and you don't have these political machines. More people can run for office. More people participate in elections. They feel they have a stake in the process. So they've done nothing, though, to increase our representatives. Instead, they keep increasing the staff. Well, don't confuse more government with better governance. Instead of adding more staff to these people, why don't they create more direct representatives? But they refuse to do that because they've worked hard to get the system the way it is. They've taken it away from us, and it is an oligarchy. When California first started, 1849 was the Constitution. It was amended then in 1879, as Mark said. At around that time, in 1850, there was less than 500,000 people in the state. And around that time, they set the limits at 40 and 80. There are only about 50 or 60 judges in the state. Fast forward today, we still have the 120 representatives, but there's almost 2,000 judges in California. Similarly, in the federal system, they capped the House of Representatives at 435, and there's almost twice as many federal judges now as we have representatives. So we have taken away not only representation from the people, we've taken away the government. It doesn't belong to us anymore. It's these career politicians and lifelong people in there, and government, instead of standing up and defending the sanctity of the Constitution and protecting our rights, they circle the wagons and they protect government. And look at the job that they've done. The federal government is like $20 trillion in debt. We have this illegal immigration problem that is just turns into a morass. All we had to do was enforce the laws we had on the book. In California, we've got a debt of at least $500 billion. These people are not solving problems. They're just spending monies on these frolics that they want to do.
Amen. Okay, now, hey, this is a good spot. Gary and Mark, we need to go off to a break real quick. So if you gentlemen can hold on, we'll catch you up on the other side.
Okay,
thank you. The time has come for 51.
We must sometimes we may falter. You can have His grace, my friend, on your knees, down at the altar. You don't have to move that mountain. Just help me, Lord.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Tobacco & Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco & Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco & Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a very special Valentine's night, February 14th. That's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge in Wind River Resort and Casino. $55 per couple with your club card. Free slot play, steak and lobster, champagne and dessert. Sound delicious? Limited seating on Valentine's night with a 4 p.m., a 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. reservation. Call 243-3377 for your Valentine's reservation today.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, gentlemen, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, can you give us a, Gary, can you give us a, in a nutshell, what we're looking to do? I mean, what we received on this 12-page document last week, so what was that, and then what are we going to do next? What is the next step in the process? I just want to make sure that we kind of tighten it up a little bit so that people understand that we are fighting, but what it is, what is the tool we're going to be fighting with?
Okay, it will be an amended complaint. Her order said that we could amend, and we'll go back there, and pending still, or they'll file another motion to dismiss, and then we'll argue that. What she said is our complaint was deficient in essentially three ways. One is standing, and these three areas that I'm going to give you are all judicial doctrines conjured up by the judges, and they do have a very, very limited province, but in fact they're too widely expanded. And what they do is limit people from going to court. One is standing, and with standing, it's really hard to understand the doctrine if you read all the cases, because they seem to find it when they want and don't find it when they don't want to. And standing says that if you're bringing a complaint, you have to have a particularized injury to yourself. You can't allege a general grievance. And there is a place for that, like if somebody says, well, I don't like this tax bill, and so it should be stricken down, well, it affects everybody. You know, the government couldn't move forward. What's different here is the issue we're bringing, it does affect everybody. Most people, a lot of people are saying, oh, this is just Jefferson bringing this, another Northern California counties. Some of Jefferson's involved in this lawsuit, in this movement, but this lack of representation affects every Californian. I'm down in Southern California outside Los Angeles, and I still have the same one representative for 500,000 people, an assemblyman, and one senator for a million people. I don't think I have access to my representative. He doesn't know what my voice is. I don't have a seat at the table. And that's what representation is. You have a presence in any debate. So they're going to try to eliminate us on standing. We're alleging particularized injuries as well as a general grievance to everybody. There was a case here in Los Angeles. I won't get into it too much, but it's kind of esoteric, but it's really important to show you how our representatives behave. And it had to do with the zoning situation. It's a case called Lacey, and this guy had a strip club. He wanted to stay open later. He went to the zoning board. They approved his application. Well, then somebody appealed it. They didn't want him to have that to keep his hours open later. His appeal goes to the 15 city council members. Well, his attorney was pretty smart. They ended up denying, overturning his increased hours that was granted by the zoning board. And he was pretty clever. He brought a video camera, and he showed that not one of the 15 people were paying attention while his attorney and his client were up there arguing their case. They're on cell phones, they're walking away, some of them weren't even present that day. And the appellate court, then the appeal of that was overturned and said that he was denied due process because his claim was really not heard by these people. He wasn't represented, really. He didn't get a representative outcome. And what the attorney for the city council argued, well, he wasn't harmed different than anybody else. We ignore everybody. That was actually the essence of their argument. And that's where we are today, is that our government not only does not know our will, if it does, many, many times it ignores it. So they're not doing the representative function, and it's due to these giant sizes of these districts. Another issue that the court was concerned about is the political question. In the Constitution, both of California and the federal Constitution, determining the drawing of the districts and the number of legislature is in the kind of the sole province of the legislature. And we largely agree to that to a certain point, but it's not they have a lot of discretion, but they don't have absolute power. Just like we have a First Amendment in the country, but it's not absolute. There are some limitations on it. And when you look at what's happened here, although they have the power to set these districts, the boundaries, the number of legislatures, when in fact it's been 155 years and 39.5 million people added, I think they've been totally derelict in their duty. In fact, they have abandoned us, we the people. And that's clearly abuse of their office, and what happens, it then alters the whole structure of our Constitution. Granted, we have the three co-equal independent branches, and they each have a different province, and they're supposed to check and balance each other. When we do not increase the legislature as the population grows, as I said earlier, it allows the other two branches to leapfrog over the legislature. It's at the end, and we no longer have accountability of our representatives, which would occur if we had the proper size districts. So the court will say that this is a political question. It's up to the legislature to determine when and how these boundaries are grown and how many representatives you have. Now, that's generally true, but one thing that the government cannot do is act arbitrary and capricious. And again, what's happened here is they have totally abandoned their duty and abandoned the people when they do not increase representation, and especially don't increase it when there's 155 years and 39.5 million people. And the third thing is the issue of just disability. The court will say that, it kind of goes into the political question, this is causing us to invade the province of the legislature, and that violates separation of powers. This is solely for the legislature to determine. Well, you can find numerous examples where the court has intervened, and they're supposed to intervene. In fact, you go to Marbury versus Madison, and it says where there's a wrong, where there's a constitutional violation, there has to be a remedy. And this is a case where there has to be a remedy because the abuse is so great. The actions by the legislature are nothing but arbitrary and capricious. And in fact, they have abandoned the people. And instead of protecting the sanctity of the Constitution and the rights of the people, they're circling the wagons and they're protecting government and they're protecting their own power, because the legislature is now turned into an oligarchy, and that presents a very real possibility for bribing, greater bribes. And in fact, both in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento, there's a K Street, and it's lined with lobbyists. And look what's happening right now in the federal government. We had the Podesta brothers and Paul Manafort were acting as foreign agents for other countries, and they're supposed to lobby, register as lobbyists. Neither one of them did. And why is that? Because Washington, D.C. is a grand bazaar. Our country is being sold off because we don't have representation. And then also what's happening with the FBI and the DOJ. The integrity of all these institutions is clearly in doubt right now.
Amen. Okay. Hey, I just got the sign. We need to go off to our last break, and then we'll be right back. So can gentlemen hold over?
Yeah.
Okay, thank we'll you. See you in just a moment. The time has come for 51.
Join us for the State of Jefferson 2018 Banquet and Fundraiser. It'll be held Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall. Doors open at 5 with a catered tri-tip or chicken dinner served at 5:30. You'll enjoy great food and awesome prizes, as well as live and silent auction items. All proceeds will benefit the Jefferson Legal Fund. Tickets are $35 each, or get a pair for $60. Cost for a table of 8 is $500 and includes 8 dinners and $600 in prize tickets. In Shasta County, call Chris Kellstrom at 530-526-2352 for tickets or more information. In Tehama County, call Patty Smith at 530-586-2166. We'll see you Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And remember, the time has come for 51.
The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson state of mind.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Cats had a heart attack, you know that. Their time's coming to an end. We have to unify and watch our flag ascend.
Back at it. Okay, so Gary, those are the three items that you were where you left off. Are those the three items that are the important parts of the case that we're going to be dealing
right,
with?
Right, that's what we'll have to try to plug those holes in our amended complaint to establish that we do have standing, that it's not a political question, and it is justiciable. In fact, as to justiciability, the our Constitution states in Article 1, one representative for every 30,000. And then again, you have Article the First that had these increases, but it would only go up to when you reach 200,000, you would, the population in the beginning, they had these this language in there. And so today we should have 6,000 representatives in our House of Representatives.
That's amazing. Well, it would make it a lot easier.
Let me get back to another point, is that representatives' legislatures essentially have four duties. One is constituent outreach, to listen to your problems, your concerns, petition the government. You go to your representative and say, I'm having this problem with government. The second one is that they pass laws. Well, to pass laws, they have to do research a lot of times, and they have various committees. In fact, there's 91 committees in the Assembly and 35 committees in the Senate, and some of these overlap, but that's a lot of committees because they keep passing more laws, and some of them aren't needed, but the country's growing. New problems come out with technology, so that is a valid function to have hearings regarding the passage of law. But another big a factor or item that they have as their duty is to do oversight. And one thing that the people need to know here is initially the judges, and I still think they have the power here, the legislature still has the power to impeach judges, but initially the representatives could impeach the judges. It's a power that's hardly ever been used, both in the federal government and the state governments. But they've kind of abandoned that, both in the federal system and the state system. And here in California, we created the Commission on Judicial Performance. We were first among the states to do that, and so they turned that over to this commission, and it's in the Constitution. But that was in 1960, and I think the audience would be shocked to learn that agency has never been audited. In fact, there's an attempt to audit it now, and they've gone to court to force them to turn over documents, and the trial court has ruled that certain of these documents are confidential. And so what they want is to see some of these complaints against the judges. How are you going to determine if the process is working correctly if you can't look at the complaints and know who filed them and talk to the people that filed them to see if the investigation, the complaint had any merit, if the investigation of it was carried out properly, and that the final decision, the outcome was correct, whether to impose discipline or not.
Hey, well, hey, great information, guys. Hey, I'm being flagged to get off the air. So, Gary, Mark, thank you so much. And we will further this discussion on Monday's meeting. And gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and everything you put into this. It's truly appreciated by all the patriots that are Jeffersonians.
Thank
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wes.
The time has come for 51.
Mark?
All right. We'll try to get him on some more for Sovereign Minds. For now, this is KCNR Shasta Redding. This has been Jefferson State of Mind. Thank you, Wynn.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob, for everything.
And where the collision took place.
The Amtrak bound from New York to Miami slammed into the freight train at about 60 miles per hour. The two dead are Amtrak crewmen. Nearly 6 months after Hurricane Harvey trashed houses in Texas, delinquent mortgage payments are up.
Reports by real estate and financial firms show that about 40,000 mortgages in southeastern Texas are more than 90 days delinquent due to Harvey. Harris County, which includes Houston, accounts for